When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Michael in Bluebell. What's up, Michael?
You guys hear me there?
Yes. Hello, Mike.
What are we talking, just Eagles today?
Whatever you want,
whatever
Michael.
You'd like.
I mean, you said you want to talk about
he
the
made
Phillies.
The call, didn't he?
Yes,
you
I
called
did.
Us, Michael. You said Phillies.
What do you want to talk
Phillies,
about?
Buddy, go for it.
All right, well, first I'd like to say that I think Crochet was a big miss. I would have loved to have him on the squad. I think it would have made the Phillies easily the most dominant bullpen in the league.
You mean starting rotation?
Yeah. And as for the Eagles, I got a hot take here. I just hate Jalen Hurts, man. I think he's too cool. I think he thinks he's too cool for school. Always in the press conference using big words and
Yeah, Michael, I don't know if that's a reason to
that
hate
is
Jalen
not
Hurts.
Just a hot take, it might be a stupid take.
Yeah, and it's a terrible
but I think the world of you.
Yeah. Terrible call by Michael there.
That was
come on,
atrocious.
What are we talking about? It
and
says
also
you want to talk about the
Gary Crochet wrong
bullpen.
Thing wrong.
Right.
He thought he was a bullpen guy. It was just bad across the board.
I mean, it says he wants to talk about the Phillies. You have Ruben Amaro Jr. Yeah. here. I mean,
why didn't they get Crochet? Rube.
Well, I think it was more about, you know, whether they wanted to give up a guy like Painter. And if you have to give up a guy like that to get Crochet, then I'm not sure they're in the right position to do that. And I don't disagree with them. I think it would have been a package that would have been not just a guy like Painter, but you're talking about Painter and Miller. You know, you're talking about multiples of those guys. And I love Crochet. I think he'd be great. But I think that there's some other issues that this team needs to deal with. In particular, trying to change the dynamic of that lineup.
M. Rubin, one of the guys who's been made available or potentially will be available over the next couple days and weeks here, Kyle Tucker, the Astros. Yep. Your thoughts there. Do you think that's something the Phillies should seriously consider? Got a year left on his deal, going to have free agency next year. How do you feel about Kyle Tucker, and should the Phil show interest?
He's one of the best left-handed hitters in all of baseball, and I think he'd be a great fit for this ball club. I know he's another left-hander. I just think that it would add a dynamic to this offense. It'd be tremendous. He or a guy like Bregman, I'm just not sure that they can do a guy like Bregman in this situation, just because he's going to command way too much money at this stage. They're going to have to move money off of that roster to be able to do that. And so that's going to make it tougher to get a guy like Bregman. But I think Tucker is a really interesting guy. A one-year guy with a tremendous amount of talent, pretty good defender, very good hitter. I mean, this guy can rake. I've seen him since he was in Plant High School in Tampa. Kind of a funky swing, but really, really good. One of the top like two or three left-handed hitters in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, would be a huge addition for this offense.
It would take a lot.
Yeah,
it would take a lot to get him, though.
Yeah.
Well, so from your time in winter meetings and, you know, just being around the Phillies organization, Rube, like, do you genuinely think that they would make a big move like that? Like, one that would take a lot? Because I'm losing faith as the days go on and other teams sign these guys and the Phillies continue to not do much.
Yeah, I think Dave Dombrowski's not afraid to do that. He's done it in the past. I mean, he's done one-year players. He's done two-year players. He's done guys and given up a lot of talent over the course of his career to try to win, because I know this team is definitely trying to win. It's just what can you give up? Can you give up an Aiden Miller for a one-year guy like Tucker? That's a very difficult thing to do, and I think it may end up taking a like multiples, not necessarily Miller himself, but multiples, and you're just not sure whether or not that's something that they're prepared to do right now.
And Ruben, how difficult of a position is that for Dave Dombrowski to be in right now? Because you have these prospects, you know, Andrew Painter, Justin Crawford, Aiden Miller, who probably won't be ready this year, more 2026. How difficult is it when you have those guys that will be ready soon but aren't quite ready in terms of keeping them versus, you know, trading them for guys who can immediately improve your club right now?
Certainly the toughest part of the job is to try to create a situation where you're going to put your team in the best position to win a World Series and not give up the future. I mean, I've gone through it myself, and we've, you know, we've tried a few times in 9, 10, and 11 and couldn't get there, unfortunately. Had great teams, but just couldn't get there. It's part of the most difficult part of your job is to continue to try to bet on yourself to win, and how you can do that. And sometimes it just takes a smaller move. I mean, everybody wants the big move. I mean, the Phillies have made some really big moves over the last two or three years as far as signing, and they're not afraid to throw the money out there. But it's really about being able to tweak it enough to bring a championship to Philadelphia.
And by the way, congratulations to Michael in Philly. He is the winner of the Eagles-Steelers tickets.
Nice,
so Michael wins. Michael will be going to the game on Sunday. So congratulations to him for winning the tickets today. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Brian in Bala Cynwyd. What's up, Brian?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, Brian. How are you?
Oh, this is cracking me up. I just walked into the Wawa to order some coffee. What's going on, guys?
Good, man. What do you got, Brian?
Yeah, so I thought the pop culture bit was great this morning. Just wanted to call in and talk a little bit about the A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts drama. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think you guys have kind of blown it out of proportion a little bit. I think BG didn't really help what he had to say this week, but I love BG. I don't think he's the greatest public speaker. I don't think he completely meant everything that he said. I don't really know how to, like, articulate that, but I think it just came off really wrong. And, like, it just – the whole situation is just giving me blown out of proportion.
It's kind of a confluence of everything is what it was A.J. makes the comment, you know, post-game, and the locker room didn't seem real happy. And obviously the game, you know, they could have lost that game. And then BG says what he says, and then he walks it back, and then he's on with us. So it was, you know, it was a perfect storm. And frankly, the passing game has been an issue. So
and this is the thing. Like, I BG obviously did walk it back the next day with you guys on the morning show on Tuesday. But the bottom line is, on Monday night, he did feel the need to say something. Like, that doesn't change the fact that he felt the need to say something on Monday. And I do think Brandon thinks about this stuff before he says it, and I do think it was somewhat intentional.
That's valid. I would agree with that. And I think the passing definitely could increase. Like, it could improve. Not increase. It could definitely improve.
It's really just hitting the passes that are there. Like, I don't want
exactly,
Jalen to throw it 40 times a game because the run game's been terrific.
Yeah, we can't lose our identity. We're obviously a
absolutely
running team. And I would hate for us to force, like, 30 passes this weekend when we're playing this incredible defense and we're going to have to shove it down their throats with Saquon.
And they force turnovers. They've got, like, 28 on the year. So, yeah, you don't want to do that. But you just want to take the plays that are there. Yeah.
Yeah. We win the games when Jalen's not turning the ball
over.
And I think, like, A.J. Brown is not having a bad season right now. Like, he's got 800 receiving yards, 50 catches, and he's missed four games. Like, he's a top 25 receiver. I get it. It's not, like, a vintage A.J. Brown season, but, like, come on, Mike. He's not playing as bad as I think a lot of people are making it out.
Brian, what do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
I think of so I was going to say the Amish, but I think of Hershey Park.
Hershey Park.
Somebody
there
said
you
it.
Go. Appreciate the call, Brian. But yeah, Hershey Park. Yeah, that
somebody said it already.
Was that was Devin's answer? I believe.
No.
No, oh, it wasn't?
No, it was a caller. No.
Someone said it.
No, I said it.
Oh,
James
sorry,
said
James
it.
Said
I knew it was
yeah.
one of us that said it. So I'm sorry, Devin. I'm sorry to project that answer.
I know. How dare you?
I had a season
My answer was 76.
Yeah. You had a season pass to Hershey?
I had a season pass to Hershey Park.
Did you use it?
I did.
Nice.
Did you, like, ride your bike there?
Children were small.
Did you live that close?
I could have, certainly. I have ridden my bike to Hershey Park.
Really?
From my house. Yeah. But it was, you know, a long bike
the
ride.
Last
it was like
coaster.
You would have taken a whole day to
were you a roller coaster kid because of that, like you were into
I've always been a roller coasterer, but I mean we started
I wasn't,
going
and
to...
I'm not
really because I know
the
camera's afraid of roller coasters.
Oh, I hate
that's
he
not
will
surprising.
Never go
the
on
last the last roller coaster I ever went on was at Hershey Park, and it was like right after college, and I loved them, and then I think it was what's it called, Big Bear, like the big one that they have.
They
don't know.
They had the Super Duper Looper, the Comet.
It was horrible, and after that I was like, okay, I'm done.
There's still time, Devin. There's still time. I did it.
You can still go back.
I did it at 8:30.
Really?
I crossed over at King's Island.
Maybe I'll try it again. Maybe I'll pay Hershey Park a visit.
I love the roller coasters that have a huge drop.
Yeah.
I want that massive drop where my stomach feels like it's about to erupt out of my mouth.
I think it's worse when you're going on the way.
Great.
I think it's worse when you're on your way on the way up. That's what gets me.
I love that. Yeah. I love the excitement, and then when it drops, I the bigger the drop, the better. And I don't want it, like. The rest of the ride, it's okay, but really the drop. I don't understand why they don't just do a ride where it's just like drop after drop after drop.
They do have those.
I think they do.
Well, the platform thing that goes up and drops and up and drops. But just a roller coaster that the whole plot is you've got like four drops.
Well, you should bring
nothing
this,
else, just drops.
You should design your own amusement park.
I think
and
I
then you can do it.
Well, I mean, they do have games like that.
Roller Coaster Tycoon. Yeah,
yeah, and I do. I designed the droppers.
Well, there you go.
And they're fun. And then I virtually drop. It's just not quite as
it's not the same.
Thrilling.
215-592-9494. If you want to get in, this is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today, right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey Rhea, I just booked an appointment. Window Nation came out and they're changing the windows in my daughter's rooms. We need it so badly because with winter coming, it's freezing in my house.
It is freezing out right now, 28 degrees. So you might feel those drafts coming through your old windows today. Replace them with Window Nation. I did it. Best decision ever. My house is so much warmer now.
And with the year-end sale, the price is so right. It's 50% off plus another 10% on top of that. You cannot beat it.
And do not forget about the financing. You get zero interest for 6 years, and that makes it super affordable.
I know, and it was so easy to schedule an estimate to just a quick call, and they were out in no time.
So if you're thinking about new windows, now is really the time. Window Nation's got top quality windows, So give your home the gift of windows this holiday season.
Get winter ready with Window Nation. Sale ends December 31st, so call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
brought to you by Visit Delco. Well, it's been quite the eventful week for the Eagles after their 9th straight win, leading up to Sunday's battle with the Steelers. Of course, passing high on the list of topics. Jalen Hurts averaging 21 passes per game during the streak, threw for just 108 yards last week, 118 the week before. But, of course, the run game with Saquon Barkley has been terrific. Flyers got 4 goals from Scott Laughton in their 4-1 win over the Red Wings coming into the game. Laughton had just 3 goals on the entire season. If you have tickets to see the Eagles take on Pittsburgh this weekend, check out Visit Delco's Game Day Getaway Stay at visitdelcopa.com. Weather brought to you by MHS Lift. Mix of clouds and sun. High of 36, currently 28. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, or any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to mhslift.com. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney, Ruben Amaro Jr. We are broadcasting live from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles today. Big game with the Steelers coming up this weekend. Your level of faith that the Eagles are going to show up after a tumultuous week. Also, Philly's offseason winter meetings underway. You want to ask Ruben a Philly's question. You're welcome to get in on that as well. We'll have NFL picks coming up at 9 o'clock. And don't worry, Joe DeCamera has given me his picks. So I have Joe's picks. We'll do that coming up at 9 o'clock today. And
he didn't let you make your own picks?
No, he doesn't make me let his own.
That's not
his,
nice.
Own picks. I mean, Joe's got it. He's very meticulous. He gave me his record. He gave me John's record.
Oh, my God.
He wants John's picks sent to him today after John makes them so he can keep track himself. I don't know if he thinks people are going to try to cheat or what's going on.
But he probably does.
Yeah. For all that fastidiousness, so. He's 4 games behind.
Very competitive.
Yeah, I saw the records.
Yeah, because Joe says all the time he doesn't watch games outside of the Eagles, so I feel like he's just guessing off of vibes. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could do worse than guessing off of vibes.
That's true. Sometimes it works.
But we were talking during the break, John, about Christmas decoration. You a big Christmas lights guy? You put a lot of lights up
here? Of course. I'm crazy about Christmas lights and everything else. It is a... Man, it's this time of year where it's everyone's favorite holiday, isn't it?
No, Thanksgiving's
well, you know
my
what?
Favorite
that's,
holiday.
That's foolish. No, it isn't everyone's favorite. I feel like getting the gifts of this holiday is everyone's favorite activity. This is the biggest get of the holidays.
Well, that's
it?
What I need to do after the show today. I need to go back to my house and hang Christmas lights.
That's awesome.
No, I haven't done it yet, Rhea. I've been procrastinating.
You have little kids.
I know.
My decoration's been up since before Thanksgiving.
Well, it's the same. Well, that's ridiculous. You can't put lights up before
she's
Thanksgiving.
One of those.
No. What I did was, I decorated inside. I had them outside, but I decorate inside my house because at Thanksgiving, I have a lot of my little nieces and nephews come over. So I wanted to be festive in the house.
Okay.
So well, I put all that stuff up.
I support that.
I got to get mine up today. Now Al has told I work.
I
Al
do think
very
you're
frequently.
A you're negligent.
Well, yeah.
As
I'm not good
as a father.
Stuff. Like Al told me, don't get on the roof.
No, like you've done a
Richie
poor
just
job.
Negligent
as a father.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You said you
negligent
got a 2 year old. You got a 2 year old and a 3 year old,
and another one coming in a few weeks.
Oh,
wow! I didn't know that.
Congratulations, by
thank
the way.
You. Thank you.
That
you're
is a huge
man.
Deal. But again, yeah, bad job as a dad. This is Christmas. This is the holiday season. This is Hanukkah. This is Christmas. This is Kwanzaa. This is New Year's. This is the big. This is.
It's
the
December
13th. Time.
I got plenty of time.
No, you don't have plenty of time. Hey, the
12
mall.
12 days.
12 days.
Where
exactly.
I go, 12 days.
12 days of Christmas. Perfect.
It's
time.
It's imminent. It's upon us, man. Whoever sings 12 days of Christmas, he's done.
Okay. Well,
he
I'll
did
get him.
It.
I'll get him up today.
Is he done?
Relax.
I don't know.
Does he just begin?
I've been shopping. I've been headed. I've been mauling it since mid October with. this holiday in mind, like just to get the presents in line, to get the decorations in line. Every time I go out, I am looking for something that I can make the house feel Christmassier with. And like right now I'm looking for attire for Slimer. I have a Slimer hanging in the family room. You know Slimer from Ghostbusters?
Yeah, but is that a Christmas thing?
No, but...
that has nothing to do with Christmas.
It has become a year-round decoration in my house. I need to get him Christmas outfits.
He is green,
Naturally.
It works. No, the lights are... I have thousands and thousands of lights on the tree itself, and it's always lit. And it makes a huge difference this time of year. It feels so cozy and cheery. Mm. And you're neglecting bring that that cheer into your house.
If you love Christmas so much, will you want to come over and help me hang my lights today?
I will if you need help, man.
I might need help.
I love to do the Christmas lights.
Okay.
I really do enjoy it.
All right, I'll see you there.
Speaking of Christmas lights, I went to Smedley's. I went down to Smedley Street, did my
yearly.
It's awesome. It's really cool little cul-de-sac. You got to do it. And then Miracle on 13th. You've never been to Smedley Street?
It's literally
it's right in South Philly.
House.
Wait, is it different from Miracle on 13th Street?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've been on 13th Street.
I've been to 13th Street. I've never even heard of Smedley.
Smedley is right off of Oregon.
Let's go.
You can't access it from Oregon. You have to go. Now, you can take your car around. We walk there because it's walking distance from my house. What they do there is spectacular. I have pictures on my phone.
The Smedley's.
It's Smedley Street.
Smedley.
Right. It's a little cul-de-sac.
I've never heard of it. I'm adding into this. I love 13th Street, and I haven't done that yet this year.
I just did both of them last night.
There you go.
That's how I do it.
So you got the lights up at your house, and they've been up for a while?
Well, we have our tree. We've had our tree since just after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. You can see it from the street.
Nice. Well, I got my tree up last weekend, so at least I got that done.
Okay.
I'll get the lights
done.
That's
the bare minimum.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Scott in King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, do you have a double ladder to get up to that roof, TK?
A double ladder. Yeah, Scott. I need all the help I can get up there. Morgani told me not to go up on the roof, though. He doesn't.
Yeah,
trust
that's
me.
A little dangerous. Yeah.
I don't go on the. Do you go on your roof?
No.
No.
I'll hang him in the bushes or something.
I'm fearful.
John, we could use a little help out here in King of Prussia. Maybe you could make an appearance and help some people with Christmas lights, starting with me. That would be much appreciated.
To be your new side hustle,
I think
John.
I do enjoy it. I enjoy it. I would like to help.
And for the rest of this call, Rhea will not be talking about Pat Mahomes under any circumstance.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. All right, so quick Eagles point or question. For me, I'm going to script the first 10, and I'm going to give the squeaky oil. I'm going to give the squeaky wheel his oil, and I'm going to throw the first 10 to AJ and to Devontae, and I'm just going to see how it plays out. I'm guessing the Steelers are going to stack the box anyway, so it's probably going to be available, so why not just go ahead and do it? We find that squeaky wheels get the oil. All we have to do is take a look at Joe DeCameron in his private bathroom at work with his private bidet. So if you squeak, you do.
There's no
the
private
oil.
Bidet at work. Let's get that straight.
John? I was about to say.
I'm not sure. I'm relatively certain, though. I think the bidet is just at Joe's apartment.
Rumor is that he's got a private bathroom. He's not telling anybody about there.
Well, actually, I know where the private bathroom is, and I've never told Joe about it.
Ooh, well done, Rhea. Well done. All right, pivoting to the Phillies. Ruben, you mentioned a little talk about Tucker, now that we've missed out on some of the other big plays that are out there. I'm wondering something a little simpler, and I'm hoping that you can answer it not as a GM, not as a former GM, but just as a fan. Why not? Why won't the Phillies flip Turner and Stott heading into this season, play Stott at short and play Turner at second, or even Turner at third if he won't play the outfield? Why does he have to stay at shortstop? And please don't tell me it's best for the team.
I think that one of the reasons, it's a great question. I mean, I've actually thought about this a little bit, and as far as positional changes are concerned, one of the thoughts I had was, you know, if you can get a first baseman to perhaps move a guy like Harper to the outfield also. I don't have any problem with that myself as a fan. I think that'd be great just because I think it's just a better overall team if we do take Turner and put him in the outfield, just because I think, one, it'll take the heat off him as far as the defense, because it might be make him a better offensive player.
If he's not thinking about it.
Yeah, and yeah. I think one of the issues is, one, they sort of promised him when they signed him that he would be the shortstop. And if I'm thinking about him personally, he probably feels most comfortable at that position, and also probably feels like if he continues to be the offensive player he is, got a really good chance of being a Hall of Famer if he continues to put up those
kind of
numbers.
Which Hall of Fame are you talking about? The one that's in Williamsport or wherever?
I'm just thinking, you know, offensively for him. And
you
again,
think he's a Hall of Fame player?
He has a chance if he continues, as a shortstop, if he continues to put up the numbers that he puts up over the next 8 to 10 years, yeah, he does. But I think my feeling is, you know, that's a difficult ask for a guy, and at some point that may happen. I just think that I don't think that Turner's comfortable enough right now moving off that position, and that puts the front office in a tough position.
How difficult is it to have that difficult conversation with him?
Yeah, it is a tough one, especially if he's been, honestly, if he's been promised that he will be the everyday shortstop for the next 10 years.
But if it's actively hurting your team, I mean,
I mean, again, that's one of the things. I mean, he acknowledged last year that he was not, you know, before last year, that he did not have a very good year defensively. I think he has improved some, or did improve some this year. Nope. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, but he did improve. I think he improved some. But again, I mean, this is something that, you know, that is a really tough thing for the Phillies to deal with, the front office. And, you know, will it make them better? I think it could. But it is certainly something to think about.
Ruben, I we're on different pages here. I personally think that as long as you keep Trey Turner at shortstop, you will not win the World Series. To me, you're asking your pitchers to throw extra pitches. He extends innings. He'll make a spectacular play now and then, but what he does not do is make the consistent play. And for me, you have to have a shortstop that makes the consistent play. Personally, I play Sosa, but I've already been talked out of that. But for me, Stott is the perfect answer. Listen, if you can play shortstop in the major leagues, then you can play second base. I know it's not vice versa, but there's no reason why Trey Turner can't play second base.
Well, he did play some second base. I mean, you're talking about the middle infield. They're both really important defensive positions. There's no question about it. And he did okay at second base with the Dodgers in the half season. He did that. But listen, we've been blessed by having an unbelievable shortstop for many, many years in Jimmy Rollins. People don't understand how important he was and how consistent he was. I don't think he gets enough love for that, because when the ball was hit to him, it was an out, period, end of story. And that is, you make a great point. I do think that there can be improvement there. I just think it's a really tough position for the Phillies to be in as far as the front office is concerned, to ask him to move.
Scott, what's something you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Quick comment on Rollins. To all you New York people out there, I'll take Jimmy Rollins any day over Derek Jeter. He can be my shortstop. Jimmy Rollins, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer, and that can be debated at a later date. For me, my answer is Wawa. I'm going to go with Wawa.
Wawa. Appreciate the call, Scott.
Across Pennsylvania, because that's what they have out there.
Wawa? No, they're everywhere.
Wawa. I thought he said Wawa. I'm like,
really? Okay, Joe, the camera.
I'm sorry.
said it. I'm like, what is he?
It's something about that microphone.
Literally, Joe can't hear. You can't hear.
It's something about the seat. I sit in the seat and I just channel my inner Joe.
Is Jimmy just like a quick thing? Because I mean, Jimmy was my favorite player. My list was Jimmy, Ryan Howard, and then Chase Utley. I know that's a weird list for most Phillies fans, but Jimmy was my favorite player. Is he a Hall of Famer, or is he just too borderline?
Ooh, it's really on the cusp, but I don't know, man. I like him as a Hall of Famer just because of, you know, having watched him. I think he got sort of screwed out of a bunch of Gold Glove awards, and I just think this is a guy that was one of the best defensive players in the game for a long, long period of time. He just didn't get recognized for it enough.
And Ruben, one quick thing that you had mentioned earlier, and when you look at the Phillies, obviously you need to improve the outfield. Last year, you basically got very, very little offensively from two-thirds of the outfield. The idea of Bryce Harper, he's moved to first base, but say you get into this offseason, you don't land Kyle Tucker. Say you can land a first baseman. Do you think moving Bryce back to the outfield is something the Phillies would actually consider?
Well, I think Bryce has liked first base so much and played it so well that it's sort of tough to have him continue to bounce back and forth all over the place. If you can get a guy like Christian Walker and sign a guy like that or someone of that ilk, you would consider it. I just don't see them moving Bryce back and forth as well. I mean, again, a really tough conversation to have. With both Bryce and Turner making them move off positions when they've been really very, very good players at their positions for a long time.
Yeah, interesting this offseason for sure. Let's go to Dave in Wilmington. What's up, Dave?
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
So, quick question. What does Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the Ravens quarterback, his name?
Lamar Jackson.
What do they have in common? The last time they played against Jalen Hurts, they lost. So why do callers continue to talk about Patrick Mahomes' stats instead of worry about our quarterback?
He's got three Super Bowl rings.
Right, Dave. I mean, do you think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. We have a second-round quarterback who's playing like a late first-round quarterback. I'm just tired of them calling in and saying, Patrick Mahomes throws interceptions, Patrick Mahomes fumbles, he's not having a good year. We're not worried about Patrick Mahomes. If you're worried about Patrick Mahomes, move to Kansas City and call their radio.
All right, so you're not high on Jalen Hurts.
I'm not high on Jalen Hurts, but I'm not the extreme where I hate him and think he's a piece of crazy. He's a good quarterback. But he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's
correct.
He's his own quarterback, and that's who we need to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, he's different from those guys. He doesn't have the same skill sets that
I get
those
what he's saying.
Have.
It's like, stop comparing him to Patrick and Josh Allen. I get it now. I understand.
What do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania, Dave?
The most copied thing, even though it's never done right, the Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak. There you go. Appreciate the call, Dave. So a lot of these answers.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's more Philadelphia.
We're Philadelphia centric.
Yeah.
Well, so TK, you said hoagies.
I think that's more Philadelphia. I think you're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, he said cheesesteak.
Thanks, Rhea.
So what are you saying there?
I feel like the correct answer here is sandwiches. Like Pennsylvania just is sandwiches.
Yeah, the Primanti sandwich.
The Primanti brothers, right? And then in Philly we have the cheesesteak. So. Yeah.
We do knock sandwiches out of the park.
We do sandwiches really well.
Yeah. You can cover a sandwich.
I'm proud of our sandwich ability.
Yeah. You want to know why, John? Because we have the best rolls.
Yes.
The water makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Like Jersey has the best bagels because the water.
Water.
I've never
we have
said
the best
water.
Rolls.
And I've had
I've never said water either.
Thank you, Devin. It's like so weird when I hear people say that. I'm like, I never said that.
I've had a few people rip my choice here. So I had the first selection of the day.
And you got it wrong.
And I gave a bad
horribly
answer.
Horribly wrong.
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
I was there one time. I went to visit my friend at Duquesne one time.
They don't say hoagie.
Oh, right. You said
yeah.
Can
yeah.
I drop mine?
No, it's not
can
really.
I, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Drop please, mine? Please, Ruben. Thank you.
I think Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the world, particularly in Kennett Square.
Boom.
Really?
I think you might be right.
No,
mushroom
it is. Like,
capital of the
is.
World.
Mushroom capital.
That comes from
world.
A man, Tony D'Amico,
world,
who actually runs Tokyo.
In the world, yeah.
Is it really world?
I believe
world.
So.
Because I've heard this for New Jersey. I have heard this about some other spots.
With mushrooms?
Yeah.
Isn't New Jersey
the mushroom?
New tomatoes?
Kennett Square.
I've heard mushroom capital of the world thrown about, bandied about,
what?
A little casually.
Yeah, Kennett Square, PA, is known as the mushroom
capital. Not casual anymore.
It's official now.
Ruben Amaro is right.
That's
it is
right.
Good.
You know why? You know why he's right? He's a fun guy.
Yes.
What up, Bob?
Oh, man.
Dad joke. Thanks, Joe.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in here. And, you know, this Eagles-Steelers game is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how the crowd responds. Obviously, they're going to be fired up.
We will handle everything really well, TK. We always do.
Well, I would hope so, Rhea.
This is going to be my favorite moment of the game is – So say they come out, they target AJ a couple of times, like quick, and then they're going to start chanting, "Run the ball." Just find me. I'll find it incredibly amusing.
Well, that would be annoying.
Be classic Philadelphia.
Let's start some pass the ball chants this week. But yesterday, Nick Foles was on a Barstool show, and he was talking about the crowd. And I think the crowd's going to play an interesting role this week as this game takes place. Here's what Nick Foles had to say about this Philadelphia crowd and how it can be used to the Eagles' advantage.
Yeah. It made you tougher.
Exactly.
It made you tougher as a player. And then it held you accountable because you weren't going to go in a fan base that was just always going to be lovey-dovey, which everyone thinks they'd love that. It makes you go back to work and realize every time you step in front of these people at the link, all these fans that bleed green, you better bring it. And if you're not giving everything or you're not executing, you're going to hear about it. But when you're going great, man, that place, the NFC Championship game, you brought it up, that energy in that stadium before the game. There's a rhythm before the game, like we're about to go to 7-on-7 and throw. I couldn't even go to 7-on-7 because the stadium was so vibrant, so loud. Our players were dancing. There was so much energy that I just waited 2 minutes and just took it all in. And that's really talking to Vikings players that were in that game. They think the fans were what really, like, I mean, obviously we executed, but they're like, if we played this in Minnesota, we win this game. And fans have a huge home field advantage in Philadelphia.
I got goosebumps right now just hearing that.
And I think it's going to be interesting because after everything this week, and I want to know where you guys fall on this, I think it's going to be a really positive crowd on Sunday. I think people are going to obviously be fired up for the game. And you know, A.J. Brown catches a pass. That crowd's going to erupt
nuts
every time A.J. Brown makes catches.
100%. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But if they end the first quarter and it's 10-3 Pittsburgh. Yeah. Not positive.
Or if the first completed pass is in like the end of the second quarter, there's going to be the sarcastic cheers, which are always my favorite from a Philly crowd.
If the first completed pass is at the end of the second quarter,
then we have a problem.
Then we have a massive problem.
Houston.
That was an exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If it's a while into the game.
How do you feel about that, John? I mean, with you played here, the crowd, how big of a factor is it for you guys?
I absolutely thought the crowd made it harder for Donovan McNabb to play at home than on the road. I thought that many a game. In the middle of the game, I thought, man, I feel for Don. I have compassion for our quarterback because it must be so hard to stay focused and stay positive when everyone is screaming, McNabb, you suck! I mean, after one incompletion,
and honestly,
I could not believe it. It was the grand opening of the link, and it really was.
I think we were four and out.
I think we were four and out, and it
was that the Patriots?
Suck. There's still smoke in the air from the fireworks.
Oh, the Bucks.
And Donovan is being, you know, singled out. I felt so awful for him.
Didn't you guys
on
try
many occasions
a fake field goal throw to LJ Smith in that game?
LJ
that
Smith,
was incomplete.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure.
I know we lost our first couple games, and it felt like the world was collapsing because of it. And then we were able to turn it around.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen, I mean,
and how was the crowd when you turned it around? Were they still screaming, "Donovan, you suck"?
Yeah.
This is why Jalen.
Usually they don't. I mean, look at that show, that Michael Jack Schmidt, that documentary on MLB Network.
I can't wait to watch it.
Last night. Yeah. It premiered last night. Yeah. It's really terrific. I would please recommend you guys seeing it. But, you know, the fans do switch. They will flip. And, you know, listen, when you're not playing well, they're on you. Mm-hmm. When you're playing well, they're with you. Yeah. And so and that's the beauty and the difficulty of being an athlete here in this city, but for me, I love the passion, and that's what really matters for me.
And I mean, for your teams, Ruben, I mean the crowds those years, and we've seen it the last couple of years down at the Citizens Bank Park. I mean, just incredible in the postseason, the kind of advantage that gives to a team.
It is amazing, and you know, we talk about what happened with Bohm and Turner in a positive way. That those were pretty amazing. But listen. I think athletes who come here have to expect, you know, there's going to be reaction, whether it's positive or negative, and that's how it is. That's how it works here.
A lot of guys can't swing it, and I guess that's understandable. It's not like other places. And I'm positive that that is there's responsibility that goes with that as a coach, as a player, and you have to understand that you have to be mentally tough here. You have to be mentally just more resilient in Philadelphia because more is expected of you.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen, I mean, Jalen doesn't get it that bad. I mean, think back to, like you mentioned, with Donovan. I mean, Donovan was the third best quarterback in the league for 5 years. And, I mean, people acted like he stunk during that period of time.
Well, it's all about the W's, and if you're not putting the W's on there, you're not
a lot of games.
And you're not reaching the expectations. It's not just about, like, how you perform.
It was the NFC Championship games. It was the loss after loss after loss in them. That was painful.
Right, which is sort of happening with the Phillies a little bit. As they continue to lose in the playoffs, people are starting to lose a little bit of faith. It's still a really, really good ball club, and they're going to be one of the best top five ball clubs in baseball when we open up in spring training.
You think they're going to be top five?
I do think that they have talent-wise. I don't know that they will get there, but and I think there's some work to do still, but they're still going to be considered as far as on paper is concerned, and really the fans should back them for as long as they possibly can because it's hard to win, man. It's hard to win.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Time for a read on our Twitter poll question of the day. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet at WIP Morning Show on Twitter. Who wins on Sunday, Eagles or Steelers? 83% of the audience believe the Eagles get it done and win this game on Sunday. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Chuck in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. Happy weekend. I like to write down snippets that you guys say. Hard to win, Ruben Touche, baby. Is it ever hard to win? And, Rhea, when you said the perfect storm for this week, that's the perfect caption for what happened all the way through.
Oh, yeah. But, it's just everything kind of came together.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely, positively. It was brilliant. The caller, two callers ago, my Lord, if you guys could ever connect Scott with somehow and I together, I'd be so. This guy's researched, and when he talks about flipping your middle infield, the two-for-one deal, he absolutely makes shortstop better DRS. And I know Turner can handle the second base responsibilities. It was he did it in shirts then. Ruben, you make that middle infield much better. But to egos and everything else you mentioned, they won't do that, right, Ruben? That's just not a direction the front office will go with Turner. We can't look for that. It's just not going to happen, right?
I don't think so. And again, it's a really difficult thing to ask. And maybe down the road, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, just two quick points. I watched your show last night. It's fabulous. The transition that Schmidt makes after 73 season, where he gets a lot of at-bats, 500 at-bats, that's 196. Fans are all over him. Sub 700 OPS. Everybody's saying this guy's a bum. He's the next season, he takes a 196 batting average to 282. OPS 697 to 940. Man, whatever Schmidt did between the 73 and 74 season, I want to have some of that cereal. Then he posts up 11 seasons over 900 OPS. You talk about a remarkable career. And I don't think the Philadelphia fans realize that. We used to get on him for being not clutch. Here's his clutch numbers. Two outs, runners in scoring position, five game late, late and close, trailing by one. OPS, 925, 250 home runs in those scenarios. So this guy's as clutch as it gets. But most Phillies fans, I'm included myself, didn't think he was clutch. My Lord, was he ever clutch. It's just unbelievable.
Chuck, I will just say this about him. Like, see, I was, I grew up with Mike Schmidt, but I was also too young to have developed the negative gene that I think I might have. But, you know, so I was a huge fan of his, you know, that was also, you know, when Ron Jaworski was here. But my older brothers and sisters, I heard it from them that they, you know, so I think it all is relative. Like, if you're young, when a star is, you don't really look at their flaws, but your parents, your brothers, in different parts of my family, you either loved Mike Schmidt or you were like, well, what a, you know, he drove me crazy.
I think the fact that the numbers that weren't that very good in the playoffs early until 1980 when he really was fantastic, because his numbers in the playoffs were not great. And I think that the fans focused on that so much that it took away from his goatness.
There was no wild cards back then.
Ruben, you just grabbed the brass ring. So all that greatness, and you go to 236, 304, and that's shocking because he always had high on base 380-plus and 690 in postseason. And Rhea and Ruben, that's why we have the sentiment of negativity, because his postseason career, unfortunately, a great player, best third baseman ever. But in the postseason, as you often say, Ruben, it's a different game in the postseason, right?
Chuck,
so much more difficult.
Sure is.
Chuck, what do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Well, my grandfather helped build it, so I'm always going to say the Ben Franklin Bridge.
I like it.
There you go.
Well, that's more Philadelphia than Pennsylvania. But, you know, he brought up the we're talking about when Foles is talking about what the stadium was like for that NFC Championship game. What I remember, you know, you had the failed NFC Championships with McNabb. I remember when they finally broke through, and that was against Atlanta, right?
Yep.
So I'm in the press box. I remember I wanted to feel what – I went outside so I could feel – That's I've never like it was wasn't until that Minnesota game, which obviously another NFC Championship game, I've never felt a stadium shake or be loud like that in my entire life. It was insane.
It was just like the 2007 Phillies when they finally crossed over and won the NL East or whatever. Those moments, and then they sort of snowballed on themselves. Right, the fans really got behind both those teams, but it is something to behold. You talk to players.
2022 Phillies.
Yeah, you talk to players who play against the Phillies about that and what it's like. I mean, think about Romano, what he's saying. I mean, he basically said, I want to play in Philadelphia because of what I've experienced there player on the other side. And, I mean, you can talk about the fans all you want, but when they create that kind of atmosphere for you
it's like another player.
It's something special.
And that's why I think it's interesting as it pertains to this game this weekend, because it's not, you know, a playoff game. It's not an NFC Championship game, anything like that. But this is a smart fan base, and I think the fan base understands, coming off this week, all the stuff that's happened, that this is a really important game for this team. And you know, it's really important for them to respond, and I think it's going to be more than a typical Eagles crowd on Sunday, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I hope so.
I love that.
I don't see a single terrible towel in the crowd either.
It should be intense. It should be more intense. This is an interstate rivalry. It's our side topic today. There's not enough animosity between us and the Steelers. It's always like, okay, they're AFC, we're NFC. It's okay to kind of like the Steelers. You know, it's not really a direct competitor. Well, now they are.
Yeah.
Now we have to beat this Steelers team, guys. We have to win out this season to have a chance to get the one seed, which will give us a better shot to win the Super Bowl. We are talented enough to win the Super Bowl. The Lions have the inside track right now, and unless they lose too.
Well, no, and that's another factor that we haven't gotten a ton into today, but this is a huge weekend for the one seed. I mean, if the Eagles win and the Lions lose, all of a sudden, it's very real. Then we have
a new lease on life, and it's very possible that the Lions do lose this game.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills, they have a lot to prove. And yes, they're very good. That's such an awesome matchup.
That's so good.
Let's go to Avery, who wants to talk about roller coasters. What's up, Avery?
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Avery?
I just heard you guys talking about how you love, like, big roller coaster drops.
Please. That's the only way.
I used to think I loved roller coasters, but we just took my stepdaughter to Universal Studios in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
She's 9 years old, went on her first loop-de-loop, okay? Yeah. And she chose the Velocicoaster, which I thought I was going to die on.
Well, that does not sound as fun.
I had to, like, be brave for her. Probably the scariest roller coaster I've ever been on in my life.
Hi.
And she went on it 7 times.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, why is it the scariest roller coaster you've ever been on in your life?
She got addicted.
Okay, so it's not like a typical roller coaster where you go up nice and slow. No, no, no. it shoots you out automatically at 85 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
And the top drop, you're going to have to look it up. The top drop is like an 85-degree angle straight down for 155 feet.
That sounds awesome.
What's it called again?
That sounds perfect. Is that a super far drop?
How do you even spell that?
Did that seem like a farther drop than what you were accustomed to?
Oh, yeah. And
yes!
They basically, they made this whole roller coaster, like most roller coasters, they call it like a positive G-force where it pushes you back into the seat.
Uh-huh.
They purposely made this whole roller coaster to be a negative G-force where you feel like you're going to fall out of the seat the whole time.
Okay.
Wow.
That is the same exact thing that happened to me in Hershey Park. When it like broke me forever, and I haven't been on a roller coaster since.
This
it was
sounds
like pushing
awesome.
Me out of the seat,
right?
And after that, I was like, I almost just died. I'm
I want to feel I'm like done. I'm flying out of the seat.
Fran
the
just,
whole time.
Yeah. Fran just showed me a picture of this thing. It looks pretty crazy.
That sounds
There's
great.
No shoulder straps. Just a lap bar, and you're like upside down most of the entire ride.
Ooh. I know exactly what you're talking about. I had the same thing happen to me, and I was like, as an adult, why am I doing
that
this to myself?
That sounds exactly like what I'm looking for.
Thank you, Avery. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks
I
for
love
the call,
that
Avery.
Where like it's horrible, and Richie's like, that is what I want.
Absolutely, that's exciting.
I'm with Richie.
I love that feeling. I love the feeling in my stomach when it's when I'm
but
dropping.
So I like that feeling too with these, which she's talking about. So you're a tall person as well. Like I'm taller. It's just the bar that straps in your waist, your upper body is just like flailing around.
Yeah. That and it feels
scary.
A little more yes.
Like with the leverage
imminent.
Of like, being tall, I felt like I was gonna fall out of my seat and die.
Yeah, there's a lot of body hanging out. There's a lot more body hanging out if you're taller.
Yeah.
So exactly. I don't have to worry about
it. Have you guys ever done these suspended rides? I went on this thing called the Batman ride back then in Kings Island where they literally make you hang.
Oh.
You're hanging. Your feet are dangling.
Yeah, I love that,
dude,
too.
It was unbelievable. That's when I became addicted to rides.
I love those ones.
It is spectacular.
Yeah, yep. I'm awesome. Into it.
Yeah, now you talk about suspension, man. You're suspended.
Yeah, those ones are fun when you hang like that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. A lot of calls to get to in the last segment. Big 9 o'clock hour. When we get back, we will do the NFL picks. Joe DeCamera has left me with his picks. So we will do that when we return. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Ruben Amaro Jr., Devin Caney. This is the morning show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you are a weekend warrior or competing at a high level, you are an athlete with goals, and NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you. NovaCare's Select Sports Center of Excellence are specialty locations focused on the needs of athletes. If you're injured, NovaCare will help you get back to playing your sport. They will also help you to prevent injuries from happening. NovaCare will prepare you to compete at your highest level of performance. At all Select Sports Center of Excellence, athletes are treated for their specific injury, training needs, and goals. Most importantly, care is provided by sports-specific physical therapists using advanced training and technology. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has long been the trusted Delaware Valley and South Jersey leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. Select Sports Center of Excellence. Just one more way NovaCare is meeting your needs. To learn more about Select Sports Center of Excellence, go to NovaCare.com today. Excellence is earned. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy. Brought to you by Visit Delco. Well, it's been quite the eventful week for the Eagles after their 9th straight win, leading up to Sunday's battle with the Steelers. Of course, passing high on the list of topics. Jalen Hurts averaging 21 passes per game during the streak, threw for just 108 yards last week, 118 the week before. But, of course, the run game with Saquon Barkley has been terrific. Flyers got 4 goals from Scott Laughton in their 4-1 win over the Red Wings coming into the game. Laughton had just 3 goals on the entire season. If you have tickets to see the Eagles take on Pittsburgh this weekend, check out Visit Delco's Game Day Getaway Stay at visitdelcopa.com. Weather brought to you by MHS Lift. Mix of clouds and sun. High of 36, currently 28. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, or any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to mhslift.com. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney, Ruben Amaro Jr. We are broadcasting live from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles today. Big game with the Steelers coming up this weekend. Your level of faith that the Eagles are going to show up after a tumultuous week. Also, Phillies offseason winter meetings underway. You want to ask Ruben a Phillies question. You're welcome to get in on that as well. We'll have NFL picks coming up at 9 o'clock. And don't worry, Joe DeCamera has given me his picks. So I have Joe's picks. We'll do that coming up at 9 o'clock today. And
he didn't let you make your own picks?
No, he doesn't make me let his own.
That's not
his
nice.
Own picks. I mean, Joe's got it. He's very meticulous. He gave me record. He gave me John's record.
Oh, my God.
He wants John's picks sent to him today after John makes them so he can keep track himself. I don't know if he thinks people are going to try to cheat or what's going on.
But he probably does.
Yeah. For all that fastidiousness, he's four games behind.
Very competitive.
Yeah, I saw the records.
Yeah, because Joe says all the time he doesn't watch games outside of the Eagles, so I feel like he's just guessing off of vibes. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could do worse than guessing off of vibes.
That's true. Sometimes it works.
But we were talking during the break, John, about Christmas decoration. You a big Christmas lights guy? You put a lot of lights up
your house? Of course. I'm crazy about Christmas lights and everything else. It is a... Man, it's this time of year where it's everyone's favorite holiday, isn't it?
No, Thanksgiving.
Well, you know what?
That's
foolish. No, it isn't everyone's favorite. I feel like getting the gifts of this holiday is everyone's favorite activity. This is the biggest get of the holidays.
Well, that's what I need to do after the show today. I need to go back to my house and hang Christmas lights.
You haven't
decorated
awesome.
No, I haven't done it yet, Rhea. I've been procrastinating.
You have little kids.
I know.
My decoration's been up since before Thanksgiving.
What's the sin? Well, that's ridiculous. You can't put lights up before
Thanksgiving.
No. What I did was, I decorated inside. I had them outside, but I decorate inside my house because at Thanksgiving, I have a lot of my little nieces and nephews come over. So I want it to be festive in the house.
Okay.
So I put all that stuff up.
I support that.
I got to get mine up today. Now, Al has told me.
I think you're frequently. You're negligent.
Well, yeah. I'm not good
as a father.
Like, Al told me, don't get on the roof.
No, you've done a
Richie
poor
just
job.
Negligent
as a father.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You said you
negligent
got a two-year-old. You got a two-year-old and a three-year-old, man.
And another one coming in a few weeks.
Oh,
wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Congratulations, by
the
way.
Thank you.
That is a huge deal. But again, yeah, bad job as a dad. This is Christmas. This is the holiday season. This is Hanukkah. This is Christmas. This is Kwanzaa. This is New Year's. This is the big... This is...
It's
the
December
13th. Time.
I got plenty of time.
No, you don't have plenty of time. Hey,
Twelve days of Christmas. Perfect
it's
time.
It's imminent. It's upon us, man. Whoever sings 12 days of Christmas, he's done.
Okay. Well, I'll get him up today.
Is he done?
Relax.
I don't know.
Does he just begin?
I've been shopping. I've been headed. I've been mauling it since mid-October with this holiday in mind, like just to get the presents in line, to get the decorations in line. Every time I go out, I am looking for something that I can make the house feel Christmassier with. And like right now, I'm looking for attire for Slimer. I have a Slimer hanging in the family room. You know Slimer from Ghostbusters?
Yeah, but is that a Christmas thing?
No, but...
That has nothing to do with Christmas.
It has become a year-round decoration in my house. I need to get him Christmas, outfits.
He is green,
Naturally.
It works. No, the lights are... I have thousands and thousands of lights on the tree itself, and it's always lit. And it makes a huge difference this time of year. It feels so cozy and cheery. Mm. And you're neglecting bring that that cheer into your house.
If you love Christmas so much, will you want to come over and help me hang my lights today?
I will if you need help, man.
I might need help.
I love to do the Christmas lights.
Okay.
I really do enjoy it.
All right, I'll see you there.
Speaking of Christmas lights, I went to Smedley's. I went down to Smedley Street, did my
yearly.
It's awesome. It's really cool little cul-de-sac. You got to do it. And then Miracle on 13th. You've never been to Smedley Street?
It's literally
It's right in South Philly.
Wait, yeah. is it different from Miracle on 13th Street?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've been on 13th Street.
I've been to 13th Street. I've never even heard of Smedley. Smedley
is right off of Oregon.
Let's go.
You can't access it from Oregon. You have to go. Now, you can take your car around. We walk there because it's walking distance from my house. What they do there is spectacular. I have pictures on my phone.
The Smedley's.
It's okay. Smedley.
Smedley is the street.
All right. It's a little cul-de-sac.
I've never heard of it. I'm adding it to this. I love 13th Street, and I haven't done that yet this year.
I just did both of them last night.
It was there you go.
That's how I do it.
So you got the lights up at your house, and they've been up for a while?
Well, we have our tree. We've had our tree since just after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. You can see it from the street.
Nice. Well, I got my tree up last weekend, so at least I got that done.
Okay.
I'll get the lights
That's
done.
That's the bare minimum.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Scott in King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, do you have a double ladder to get up to that roof?
A double ladder. Yeah, Scott. I need all the help I can get to get up there. Morgani told me not to go up on the roof, though. He doesn't
trust that's
me.
A little dangerous. Yeah.
I don't go on the Do you go on your roof?
No.
No.
I'll hang him in the bushes or something.
I'm fearful.
John, we could use a little help out here in King of Prussia. Maybe you could make an appearance and help some people with Christmas lights, starting with me. That would be much appreciated today.
Be your new side hustle,
John. I do enjoy it. I enjoy it. I would like to help.
And for the rest of this call, Rhea will not be talking about Pat Mahomes under any circumstance.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. All right, so quick Eagles point or question. For me, I'm going to script the first 10, and I'm going to give the squeaky oil. I'm going to give the squeaky wheel his oil, and I'm going to throw the first 10 to AJ and to Devontae, and I'm just going to see how it plays out. I'm guessing the Steelers are going to stack the box anyway, so it's probably going to be available, so why not just go ahead and do it? We find that squeaky wheels get the oil. All we have to do is take a look at Joe DeCamera in his private bathroom at work with his private bidet. So if you squeak, you do.
There's no
the
private
oil.
Bidet at work. Let's
now,
get
are
that
sure,
straight.
John?
I was about
yeah.
to say.
I mean,
don't know.
No, I'm not
rumor.
Sure. I'm relatively certain, though. I think the bidet is just at Joe's apartment.
Rumor is that he's got a private bathroom. He's not telling anybody about there.
Well, actually, I know where the private bathroom is, and I've never told Joe about it.
Ooh, well done, Rhea. Well done. All right, pivoting to the Phillies. Ruben, you mentioned a little talk about Turner, about Tucker, now that we've missed out on some of the other big plays that are out there. I'm wondering something a little simpler, and I'm hoping that you can answer it not as a GM, not as a former GM, but just as a fan. Why not? Why won't the Phillies flip Turner and Stott heading into this season, play Stott at short and play Turner at second, or even Turner at third if he won't play the outfield? Why does he have to stay at shortstop? And please don't tell me it's best for the team.
I think that one of the reasons, it's a great question. I mean, I've actually thought about this a little bit, and as far as positional changes are concerned, one of the thoughts I had was, you know, if you can get a first baseman to perhaps move a guy like Harper to the outfield also. I don't have any problem with that myself as a fan. I think that'd be great just because I think it's just a better overall team if we do take Turner and put him in the outfield just because I think, one, it'll take the heat off him as far as the defense, because it might be make him a better offensive player.
If he's not thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues is, one, they sort of promised him when they signed him that he would be the shortstop. And if I'm thinking about him personally, he probably feels most comfortable at that position and also probably feels like if he continues to be the offensive player he is, got a really good chance of being a Hall of Famer if he continues to put up those
kind
of
Hall
numbers.
Of Fame are you talking about? The one that's in Williamsport or wherever?
I'm just thinking, you know, offensively for him. And
you
again,
think he's a Hall of Fame player?
He has a chance if he continues, as a shortstop, if he continues to put up the numbers that he puts up over the next 8 to 10 years, yeah, he does. But I think my feeling is, you know, that's a difficult ask for a guy, and at some point that may happen. I just think that I don't think that Turner's comfortable enough right now moving off that position, and that puts the front office in a tough position.
How difficult is it to have that difficult conversation with him?
Yeah, it is a tough one, especially if he's been, honestly, if he's been promised that he will be the everyday shortstop for the next 10 years.
But if it's actively hurting your team, I mean,
I mean, again, that's one of the things. I mean, he acknowledged last year that he was not, you know, before last year, that he did not have a very good year defensively. I think he has improved some, or did improve some this year. No. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, but he did improve. I think he improved some. But again, I mean, this is something that, you know, that is a really tough thing for the Phillies to deal with, the front office. And, you know, will it make them better? I think it could. But it is certainly something to think about.
Ruben, I we're on different pages here. I personally think that as long as you keep Trey Turner at shortstop, you will not win the World Series. To me, you're asking your pitchers to throw extra pitches. He extends innings. He'll make a spectacular play now and then, but what he does not do is make the consistent play. And for me, you have to have a shortstop that makes the consistent play. Personally, I'd play Sosa, but I've already been talked out of that. But for me, Stott is the perfect answer. Listen, if you can play shortstop in the major leagues, then you can play second base. I know it's not vice versa, but there's no reason why Trey Turner can't play second base.
Well, he did play some second base. I mean, you're talking about the middle infield. They're both really important defensive positions. There's no question about it. And he did okay at second base with the Dodgers in the half season. He did that. But listen, we've been blessed by having an unbelievable shortstop for many, many years in Jimmy Rollins. People don't understand how important he was and how consistent he was. I don't think he gets enough love for that, because when the ball was hit to him, it was an out, period, end of story. And that is, you make a great point. I do think that there can be improvement there. I just think it's a really tough position for the Phillies to be in as far as the front office is concerned, to ask him to move.
Scott, what's something you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Quick comment on Rollins. To all you New York people out there, I'll take Jimmy Rollins any day over Derek Jeter. He can be my shortstop. Jimmy Rollins, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer, and that can be debated at a later date. For me, my answer is Wawa. I'm going to go with Wawa.
Wawa. Appreciate the call, Scott. What is
well, not across Pennsylvania, because that's what
that's
I have out there.
Wawa? Now they're everywhere.
Wawa. I thought he said Wawa. I'm like,
really? Okay, Joe, the camera.
I'm sorry.
Tom, yeah, you said it. I'm like, what is he?
It's something
joking?
About that microphone.
Literally, Joe can't hear. You can't hear.
It's something about the seat. I sit in the seat and I just channel my inner Joe.
Is Jimmy just like a quick thing? Because I mean, Jimmy was my favorite player. My list was Jimmy, Ryan Howard, and then Chase Utley. I know that's a weird list for most Phillies fans, but Jimmy was my favorite player. Is he a Hall of Famer, or is he just too borderline?
Ooh, it's really on the cusp, but I don't know, man. I like him as a Hall of Famer just because of, you know, having watched him. I think he got sort of screwed out of a bunch of Gold Glove awards, and I just think this is a guy that was one of the best defensive players in the game for a long, long period of time. He just didn't get recognized for it enough.
And Ruben, one quick thing that you had mentioned earlier, and when you look at the Phillies, obviously you need to improve the outfield. Last year, you basically got very, very little offensively from two-thirds of the outfield. The idea of Bryce Harper, he's moved to first base, but say you get into this offseason, you don't land Kyle Tucker. Say you can land a first baseman. Do you think moving Bryce back to the outfield is something the Phillies would actually consider?
Well, I think Bryce has liked first base so much and played it so well that it's sort of tough to have him continue to bounce back and forth all over the place. If you can get a guy like Christian Walker and sign a guy like that, or you know, someone of that ilk, I mean, you would consider it. I just don't see them moving Bryce back and forth as well. I mean, again, a really tough conversation to have. With both Bryce and Turner making them move off positions when they've been really very, very good players at their positions for a long time.
Yeah, interesting this offseason for sure. Let's go to Dave in Wilmington. What's up, Dave?
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
So, quick question. What does Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, what's the Ravens quarterback, his name?
Lamar Jackson.
What do they have in common? The last time they played against Jalen Hurts, they lost. So why do callers continue to talk about Patrick Mahomes' stats instead of worrying about our quarterback?
He's got three Super Bowl rings.
Right, Dave. I mean, do you think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. We have a second-round quarterback who's playing like a late first-round quarterback. So I'm just tired of them calling in and saying, Patrick Mahomes throws interceptions. Patrick Mahomes fumbles. He's not having a good year. We're not worried about Patrick Mahomes. If you're worried about Patrick Mahomes, move to Kansas City and call their radio.
All right, so you're not high on Jalen Hurts.
I'm not high on Jalen Hurts, but I'm not the extreme where I hate him and think he's a piece of crazy. He's a good quarterback, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's his own quarterback, and that's who we need to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, he's different from those guys. He doesn't have the same skill sets that
I get
those
what he's saying.
Have.
It's like, stop comparing him to Patrick and Josh Allen. I get it now. I understand.
What do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania, Dave?
The most toppy thing, even though it's never done right, the Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak. There you go. Appreciate the call, Dave. So a lot of these answers.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's more Philadelphia.
We're Philadelphia centric.
Yeah.
Well, so TK, you said hoagies.
I think that's more Philadelphia. I think you're wrong.
He said cheesesteak.
So what are you saying there?
I feel like the correct answer here is sandwiches. Like Pennsylvania just is sandwiches.
Yeah, the Primanti sandwich.
The Primanti brothers, right? And then in Philly we have the cheesesteak. So. Yeah.
We do knock sandwiches out of the park.
We do sandwiches really well.
Yeah. You can cover sandwiches.
I'm proud of our sandwich ability.
Yeah. You want to know why, John? Because we have the best rolls.
Yes.
The water makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Like Jersey has the best bagels because the water.
Water.
I've never said
water.
We
have the best
rolls. And I've had
I've never said water either.
Thank you, Devin. It's like so weird when I hear people say that. I'm like, I never said that.
I've had a few people rip my choice here. So I had the first selection of the day.
And you got it wrong.
And I gave a bad
horribly
answer.
Horribly wrong.
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
I was there one time. I went to visit my friend at Duquesne one time.
They don't say hoagie.
Oh, right. You said
Can I drop mine?
No, it's not really.
Please, Ruben.
Thank
you.
I think Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the world, particularly in Kennett Square.
Boom.
Really?
I think you might be right.
No,
mushroom capital of the world.
Mushroom capital.
That comes from a man, Tony D'Amico, actually runs Tokyo.
In the world,
is it really world?
I believe
world.
Because I've heard this for New Jersey. I have heard this about some other spots.
With mushrooms?
Yeah.
Isn't New Jersey?
The mushroom.
New tomatoes?
Kennett Square.
I've heard mushroom capital of the world thrown about, bandied about, a little casually.
Yeah, Kennett Square, PA, is known as the mushroom
capital. Not casual anymore.
It's official now.
Ruben Amaro is right.
That's
it is
right.
Good.
You know why? You know why he's right? He's a fun guy.
Yes.
What a bum.
Oh, dad joke. Thanks,
Joe. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in here. And, you know, this Eagles-Steelers game is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how the crowd responds. Obviously, they're going to be fired up.
We will handle everything really well, TK. We always do.
Well, I would hope so, Rhea.
This is going to be my favorite moment of the game. So say they come out, they target AJ a couple of times, like you're quick. And then they're going to start chanting, "Run the ball." I'll find it incredibly amusing.
Well, that would be annoying.
Classic Philadelphia.
Let's start some pass the ball chants this week. But yesterday, Nick Foles was on a Barstool show, and he was talking about the crowd. And I think the crowd's going to play an interesting role this week as this game takes place. Here's what Nick Foles had to say about this Philadelphia crowd and how it can be used to the Eagles' advantage.
It made you tougher.
Exactly.
It made you tougher as a player. And then it held you accountable because you weren't going to go in a fan base that was just always going to be lovey-dovey, which everyone thinks they'd love that. It makes you go back to work and realize every time you step in front of these people at the link, all these fans that bleed green, you better bring it. And if you're not giving everything or you're not executing, you're going to hear about it. But when you're going great, man, that place, the NFC Championship game, you brought it up, that energy in that stadium before the game. There's a rhythm before the game. Like we're about to go to 7-on-7 and throw. I couldn't even go to 7-on-7 because the stadium was so vibrant, so loud. Our players were dancing. There was so much energy that I just waited 2 minutes and just took it all in. And that's really talking to Vikings players that were in that game. They think the fans were what really, like, I mean, obviously we executed, but they're like, if we played this in Minnesota, we win this game. And I, fans have a huge home field advantage in Philadelphia.
I got goosebumps right now just hearing that.
And I think it's going to be interesting because after everything this week, and I want to know where you guys fall on this, I think it's going to be a really positive crowd on Sunday. I think people are going to obviously be fired up for the game. And you know, A.J. Brown catches a pass. That crowd's going to erupt nuts. Every time A.J. Brown makes catches.
100%. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But if they end the first quarter and it's 10 to 3 Pittsburgh, not as positive.
Or if the first completed pass is in like the end of the second quarter, there's going to be the sarcastic cheers, which are always my favorite from a Philly crowd.
If the first completed pass is at the end of the second quarter,
then we have a problem.
Then we have a massive problem.
Houston.
That was an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Yeah. If it's a while into the game.
How'd you feel about that, John? I mean, with you played here, the crowd, how big of a factor is it for you guys?
I absolutely thought the crowd made it harder for Donovan McNabb to play at home than on the road. I thought that many a game in the middle of the game. I thought, man, I feel for Don. I have compassion for our quarterback because it must be so hard to stay focused and stay positive when everyone is screaming, McNabb, you suck. I mean, after one incompletion,
and honestly,
I could not believe it. It was the grand opening of the link, and it really was.
I think we were four and out.
I think we were 4 and out, and it
was that the Patriots?
Suck. There's still smoke in the air from the fireworks.
Oh, the Bucks.
And Donovan is being singled out. I felt so awful for him.
Didn't you guys
on
try
many occasions
a fake field goal throw to LJ Smith in that game?
LJ Smith,
that was incomplete.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I know we lost our first couple games, and it felt like the world was collapsing because of it. And then we were able to turn it around.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen,
how was the crowd when you turned it around? Were they still screaming, Donovan, you suck?
Yeah.
This is why Jalen.
Usually they don't. I mean, look at that show, that Michael Jack Schmidt, that documentary on MLB Network.
I can't wait to watch it.
It premiered last night. Yeah. It's really terrific. I would please recommend you guys seeing it. But, the fans do switch. They will flip. And, listen, when you're not playing well, they're on you. Mm-hmm. When you're playing well, they're with you. Yeah. And so and that's the beauty and the difficulty of being an athlete here in this city, but for me, I love the passion, and that's what really matters for me.
And I mean, for your teams, Ruben, I mean the crowds those years, and we've seen it the last couple of years down at the Citizens Bank Park. I mean, just incredible in the postseason, the kind of advantage that gives to a team.
It is amazing, and we talk about what happened with Bohm and Turner in a positive way. That those were pretty amazing. But listen. I think athletes who come here have to expect, there's going to be reaction, whether it's positive or negative, and that's how it is. That's how it works here.
A lot of guys can't swing it, and I guess that's understandable. It's not like other places, and I'm positive that there's responsibility that goes with that as a coach, as a player, and you have to understand that you have to be mentally tough. Here, you have to be mentally just more resilient in Philadelphia because more is expected of you.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen, I mean, Jalen doesn't get it that bad. I mean, think back to, like you mentioned, with Donovan. I mean, Donovan was the third best quarterback in the league for 5 years. And, I mean, people acted like he stunk during that period of time.
Well, it's all about the W's, and if you're not putting the W's on there,
you won a lot of games.
And you're not reaching the expectations. It's not just about, like,
NFC championship games. It was loss after loss after loss in them. That was painful.
Right, which is sort of happening with the Phillies a little bit as they continue to lose in the playoffs. People are starting to lose a little bit of faith. It's still a really, really good ball club, and they're going to be one of the best top five ball clubs in baseball when we open up in spring training.
You think they're going to be top five?
I do think that they have talent-wise. I don't know that they will get there, but I think there's some work to do still, but they're still going to be considered as far as on paper is concerned. And really, the fans should back them for as long as they possibly can because It's hard to win, man. It's hard to win. Mm-hmm.
Sure is.
Time for a read on our Twitter poll question of the day. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet at WIP Morning Show on Twitter. Who wins on Sunday, Eagles or Steelers? 83% of the audience believe the Eagles get it done and win this game on Sunday. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Chuck in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. Happy weekend. I like to write down snippets that you guys say. Hard to win, Ruben Touche, baby. Is it ever hard to win? And, Rhea, when you said perfect storm for this week, that's the perfect caption for what happened all the way through.
Oh, yeah. But, it's just everything kind of came together.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely, positively. It was brilliant. The caller, two callers ago, my Lord, if you guys could ever connect Scott with somehow and I together, I'd be so. This guy's researched, and when he talks about flipping your middle infield, the two-for-one deal, he absolutely makes shortstop better DRS. And I know Turner can handle the second base responsibilities. It was just, he did it in short stint. Ruben, you make that middle infield much better. But to egos and everything else you mentioned, they won't do that, right, Ruben? That's just not a direction the front office will go with Turner. We can't look for that. It's just not going to happen, right?
I don't think so. And again, it's a really difficult thing to ask. And maybe down the road, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, just two quick points. I watched your show last night. It's fabulous. The transition that Schmidt makes after 73 season, where he gets a lot of at-bats, 500 at-bats, that's 196. Fans are all over him, sub 700 OPS. Everybody's saying this guy's a bum. The next season, he takes a 196 batting average to 282, OPS 697 to 940. Man, whatever Schmidt did between the 73 and 74 season, I want to have some of that cereal. Then he posts up 11 seasons over 900 OPS. But you talk about a remarkable career. And I don't think the Philadelphia fans realize that. We used to get on him for being not clutch. Here's his clutch numbers. Two outs, runners in scoring position, by game late, late and close, trailing by one, OPS 925, 250 home runs in those scenarios. So this guy's as clutch as a gift, but most Phillies fans, I included myself, didn't think he was clutch. My Lord, was he ever clutch. It's just unbelievable.
And I think Chuck, I will just say this about him. Like, see, I was, I grew up with Mike Schmidt, but I was also too young to have developed the negative gene that I think I might have. But, so I was a huge fan of his. That was also, when Ron Jaworski was here. But my older brothers and sisters, I heard it from them that they, so I think it all is relative. Like, if you're young, when a star is, you don't really look at their flaws, but your parents, your brothers, in different parts of my family, you either loved Mike Schmidt or you were like, well, he drove me crazy.
I think the fact that the numbers that weren't that very good in the playoffs early until 1980 when he really was fantastic, because his numbers in the playoffs were not great. And I think that the fans focused on that so much that it took away from his goatness.
There was no wild cards back then.
Ruben, you just grabbed the brass ring. So all that greatness, and you go to 236, 304, and that's shocking because he always had high on base 380+ and 690 in postseason. And Rhea and Ruben, that's why we have the sentiment of negativity, because his postseason career, unfortunately, a great player, best third baseman ever. But in the postseason, as you often say, Ruben, it's a different game in the postseason, right?
Chuck,
so much more difficult.
Sure is.
Chuck, what do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Well, my grandfather helped build it, so I'm always going to say the Ben Franklin Bridge.
I like it.
There you go.
Well, that's more Philadelphia than Pennsylvania. But, he brought up the we're talking about when Foles is talking about what the stadium was like for that NFC Championship game. What I remember, you had the failed NFC Championships with McNabb. I remember when they finally broke through, and that was against Atlanta, right?
Yep.
So I'm in the press box. I remember I wanted to feel what – I went outside so I could feel – That's I've never like it was wasn't until that Minnesota game, which obviously another NFC Championship game. I've never felt a stadium shake or be loud like that in my entire life. It was insane.
It was just like the 2007 Phillies when they finally crossed over and won the you know the NL East or whatever. Those moments. And then they sort of snowballed on themselves, right? The fans really got behind both those teams, but it is something to behold. You talk to players.
2022 Phillies.
You talk to players who play against the Phillies about that and what it's like. I mean, think about Romano, what he's saying. I mean, he basically said, I want to play in Philadelphia because of what I've experienced there player on the other side. And, I mean, you can talk about the fans all you want, but when they create that kind of atmosphere for you something special.
And that's why I think it's interesting as it pertains to this game this weekend, because it's not, you know, a playoff game. It's not an NFC Championship game, anything like that. But this is a smart fan base, and I think the fan base understands, coming off this week, all the stuff that's happened, that this is a really important game for this team. And you know, it's really important for them to respond, and I think it's going to be more than a typical Eagles crowd on Sunday, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I hope so.
I love that.
I don't see a single towel in the crowd either.
It should be intense. It should be more intense. This is an interstate rivalry. It's our side topic today. There's not enough animosity between us and the Steelers. It's always like, okay, they're AFC, we're NFC. It's okay to kind of like the Steelers. You know, it's not really a direct competitor. Well, now they are.
Yeah.
Now we have to beat this Steelers team, guys. We have to win out this season to have a chance to get the one seed, which will give us a better shot to win the Super Bowl. We are talented enough to win the Super Bowl. The Lions have the inside track right now, unless they lose too.
Well, no, and that's another factor that we haven't gotten a ton into today, but this is a huge weekend for the one seed. I mean, if the Eagles win and the Lions lose, all of a sudden, it's very real. Then we
have a new lease on life, and it's very possible that the Lions do lose this game.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills, they have a lot to prove. And yes, they're very good. That's such an awesome matchup.
That's so good.
Let's go to Avery, who wants to talk about roller coasters. What's up, Avery?
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Avery?
I just heard you guys talking about how you love, like, big roller coaster drops.
Please. That's the only way.
I used to think I loved roller coasters, but we just took my stepdaughter to Universal Studios in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
She's 9 years old, went on her first loop-de-loop, okay? Yeah. And she chose the Velocicoaster, which I thought I was going to die on.
Well, that does not sound as fun.
I had to, like, be brave for her. Probably the scariest roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. She went on it 7 times.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, why is it the scariest roller coaster you've ever been on in your life?
She got addicted.
Okay, so it's not like a typical roller coaster where you go up nice and slow. No, no, no. It shoots you out automatically at 85 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And the top drop, you're going to have to look it up. The top drop is like an 85 degree angle straight down for 155 feet.
That sounds
What's it
awesome.
Called again?
That sounds perfect. Is that a super far drop?
How do you even spell that?
Did that seem like a farther drop than what you were accustomed to?
Oh, yeah. And
yes!
They made this whole roller coaster, like most roller coasters, they call it like a positive G-force where it pushes you back into the seat.
Uh-huh.
They purposely made this whole roller coaster to be a negative G-force where you feel like you're going to fall out of the seat the whole time.
Okay.
That is the
same exact thing that happened to me in Hershey Park when it like broke me forever and I haven't been on a roller coaster since.
This
it was
sounds
like pushing
awesome.
Me out of the seat.
Right.
And after that I was like, I almost just died.
I want to feel like I'm flying out of the seat.
Fran just showed me a picture of this thing. It looks pretty crazy.
That sounds great.
There's no shoulder straps, just a lap bar, and you're like upside down most of the entire ride.
Ooh. I know exactly what you're talking about. I had the same thing happen to me, and I was like, as an adult, why am I doing this to myself?
That sounds exactly like what I'm looking for.
Thank you, Avery. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the
call. I love that where, like, it's horrible, and Richie's like, that is what I want.
Absolutely. That's exciting.
I'm with Richie. I love that
feeling. I love the feeling in my stomach when I'm dropping.
So I like that feeling, too, with these, which she's talking about. So you're a tall person as well. Like, I'm taller. It's just the bar that straps in your waist. Yeah, so your upper body is just, like, flailing around.
Yeah. That and it feels scary. A little more, yes.
Like with the leverage imminent, of like, being tall, I felt like I was going to fall out of my seat and die.
Yeah, there's a lot of body hanging out. There's a lot more body hanging out if you're taller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about
it. Have you guys ever done these suspended rides? I went on this thing called I think it was the Batman ride back then in Kings Island where they literally make you hang.
Oh.
You're hanging. Your feet are dangling.
Yeah, I love that,
dude,
too.
It was unbelievable. That's when I became addicted to rides.
I love those ones.
It is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Into it.
Yeah, now you talk about suspension, man. You're suspended.
Yeah, those ones are fun when you hang like that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. A lot of calls to get to in the last segment. Big 9 o'clock hour. When we get back, we will do the NFL picks. Joe DeCamera has left me with his picks, so we will do that when we return. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Ruben Amaro Jr., Devin Caney. This is the Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you are a weekend warrior or competing at a high level, you are an athlete with goals, and NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you. NovaCare's Select Sports Center of Excellence are specialty locations focused on the needs of athletes. If you're injured, NovaCare will help you get back to playing your sport. They will also help you to prevent injuries from happening. NovaCare will prepare you to compete at your highest level of performance. At all Select Sports Center of Excellence, athletes are treated for their specific injury, training needs, and goals. Most importantly, care is provided by sports-specific physical therapists using advanced training and technology. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has long been the trusted Delaware Valley and South Jersey leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. Select Sports Center of Excellence. Just one more way NovaCare is meeting your needs. To learn more about Select Sports Center of Excellence, go to NovaCare.com today. Excellence is earned. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.